Yeah, but George of the Jungle is top tier. I'm sorry. I will die on that hill to this. Like, top tier. It is just knows what kind of movie it is.
I can guarantee you I haven't seen it in over 10 years.
Oh, I hadn't seen it in probably that long, too. I just, again, scrolling through TikTok, somebody said George of the Jungle, and I was like, I need to go watch that. Googled it, and it was on Disney Plus. George of the Jungle, watch out for that tree.
I remember that part. I remember loving that part. I remember it was the early 2000s when they came out with the animated sequel. And that was when they were in the height of, like, Disney did the direct-to-VHS.
Are you talking about George of the Jungle 2?
Yeah.
No, George of the Jungle 2 is live action. It doesn't have Brendan Fraser in it or Leslie Mann.
Oh.
Maybe. It has, what's his name? The kid from Two and a Half Men is George's son.
Oh, I cannot remember his name.
No, but really? You know, yeah.
No, he was in anything other than that show.
That was at one point, I actually did thoroughly enjoy that show. My father loves that show to this day.
My mom loves that show. I don't mind Two and a Half Men.
I mean, but again, that was Chuck Lorre's genius. Like, he did Two and a Half Men and then Big Bang Theory.
He knows how to write some comedy.
Oh my God, dude.
Might be tangential. Is he Jewish?
I have no idea. And why is it such a random question?
I have no idea. I've just noticed a lot of, like, the comedy writers that I enjoy are typically Jewish.
Okay, so episode 2 of Google Assistant being the guest star.
That was a good title. I like that one. You guys may have noticed in the last episode, we did have a little bit of a delay, but it is up. Boom!
Boom, shakalaka.
Check out the last episode of Dorkside Nexus.
I have no idea. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, I'm just Googling.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. George of the Jungle.
Yes, he is Jewish.
On Disney Plus.
He was born in a Jewish family.
Yeah.
I didn't.
That makes sense. I feel like I've heard a Family Guy joke or two about a lot of Jewish comedy writers.
I mean, I feel like it is a thing.
We're funny, didn't you know? Anyway. Yeah, George of the Jungle is one I'm going to have to rewatch.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It is my favorite Brendan Fraser movie, just edging out the Mummy movies. Just because. The Mummy movies are fantastic. The first two. Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, eh.
Yeah, that one worked too hard. Sometimes you can't make a sequel to a film after
they couldn't recreate
years.
The magic. They tried. They tried very hard, and they came close. There was just some things about it that pulled it back, in my opinion.
I want to say Fraser was like one of the only cast members that came back for that one. What about his buddy?
Evie's brother there.
Yes.
His brother-in-law came
back. Which, honestly, those two are my favorite parts of the first two films, for the most part. And then having to connect with a new actor playing Alex was kind of like, you know, going from Jake Lloyd to Hayden Christensen playing the same character.
Oh, yeah.
I get it, but there's still going to be a disconnect in my brain.
Always.
But those movies were good. My favorite Brendan Fraser movie is actually Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Oh my God, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people did. Let me tell you, a lot of people did.
I love the Looney Tunes. Like, mm-hmm. To this day, I want to find a box set of the old Looney Tunes cartoons.
They're on HBO Max, I believe.
I don't have HBO Max. This is killing me. I need to get it, and I just don't want to spend money on another subscription service.
It feels like every other episode we're talking about HBO Max. You gotta get it.
I apparently have to spend more money a month.
Do it.
But no, that was a great movie too, and I forgot about that. And it came out in the 2000s, but still captured some of that old school Looney Tunes nostalgia.
It was like they had just done the Scooby-Doo movie, and they got used to doing like a CG character in the real world live action. And then that movie comes along and busts it wide open.
Oh, yeah.
The fourth wall and everything. Like, there's actual literal 2D cartoon characters.
Well, what it was is it felt like Space Jam. It felt like the original Space Jam. It was very well done. It stayed true to what Looney Tunes was. Why are you making that face?
Nothing. No, I'm just wondering. They could make... So that's canon. I mean, obviously, the Looney Tunes have a sort of canon. I'm way out of the loop.
I am too. I just have such nostalgia. My dad and me watching Looney Tunes.
So like the Bugs and Daffy.
What's up, Doc?
Who'll get that varmint?
No, was it?
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Well, I say, boy.
Oh, Foghorn Leghorn.
That character is iffy these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's offended some people. But honestly, thought, back then, that's what that's...
Yeah. I thought I saw a putty tat. I did see a putty tat.
Good old Tweety. I would do a Wile E. Coyote quote, but I can't convey written signs on a podcast.
No,
it's audio only.
Meep, meep.
Yeah. Yeah, Looney Tunes, and I remember, did you ever watch Tiny Toons?
Yeah, and I didn't like it. I remember it always being on, and I'm like, it just feels like horrible knockoff Looney Tunes.
Always on as a kid. Ducky go down the hole. Tom and Jerry? Is that?
Did I they love ever Tom and
tie
Jerry.
Into Looney Tunes?
I don't know. I don't know directly? If they did. It was another Warner Brothers project, or MGM. I don't. Who did it? Was it Warner Brothers or was that MGM? I think that was MGM.
Oh, yeah.
They were separate studios. I don't know
the difference.
They were separate studios.
That's like that'd be a good research paper or report on the history of MGM.
I love Tom and Jerry, though.
Tom and Jerry. They were always so good. Every time I see a cat or a mouse or both of them interacting, I just think of Tom and Jerry.
It was a great premise for a cartoon show. It was ridiculous, and I loved every second of it. But we got a new cartoon this week.
A new cartoon?
Disney Plus dropped What If.
What if Captain America didn't end up becoming Captain America? And Steve Rogers ends up passing... Well, he didn't pass the mantle on.
No, he got taken away from him, essentially.
Yeah. And instead, we've got Peggy Carter receiving the Super Soldier Serum and becoming Captain Carter. I thought that was pretty cool. I assume we're going to go spoilers.
It's always spoilers.
Hard spoilers on Marvel. What if episode one, Captain Carter?
I mean, you knew that they were going to... That Captain Carter was going to be a thing because they pretty much painted it on in the promotional stuff. But it was a little slow for me to get into that first episode of What If. But I'm not going to lie, it was a little slow. I didn't necessarily know how I felt about, oh, just her not going up in the booth changes everything. I mean, but that's what it is. It's what if this one thing didn't happen.
And I like that because it kind of paints a very, very obvious picture to older fans, younger fans, newer fans, like everyone coming in with the multiverse now becoming wide open. This is a great entry point into the concept of literally what if is one small choice is the birth of an entire universe. Now Captain Carter could be pulled into Doctor Strange or whatever happens. The fact that more people are now being introduced to that concept, I like it. I like the idea of having just one small change creates an entire different universe.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of it was Howard Stark. I think he was the highlight of the entire episode, personal opinion. Just getting more Howard Stark and his relationship with Peggy is quite funny, to be honest. There's a small scene where she goes to kiss Steve Rogers, even though he's not the super soldier, he's not the big, buff, sexy Steve Rogers that the MCU introduced us to. He's still the original Steve Rogers, the scrawny kid from Brooklyn. And here comes Howard Stark like, hey, what are you guys doing? What's up? I'm like, okay, this is good comedy in this. This is good, fun, animated kids comedy.
And it's nice because it's so close to what they did in the original film, again, but just slightly different. It's true to their characters. Steve, serum or not, was going to stay the good person.
Yes.
And him and Peggy's relationship was going to continue.
It was based on what was on the inside.
And it's nice because it's kind of like the flip on the whole, so you and Stark, you fondue. Yeah. It was a nice little twist-a-roo on some familiar moments that we've had in the past, but just in a brand new context. I really enjoyed it. I like the idea of Steve gets shot and he's fine.
Yeah, he got shot and injured.
He gets shot and he's fine. Peggy jumps in. She gets the whole serum thing. The scientist, not the scientist guy, the general.
Yeah.
I don't remember him much from the first Captain America. Is he kind of a new addition?
I think he's a new addition to replace Tommy Lee Jones' character because Tommy Lee Jones' character was killed in that scene in the show.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, you didn't catch that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I've been out of it for the names. I like how they had Erskine. It sounded like the voice was still the same. No, I didn't catch that he was the one who died. And he was kind of like a champion for Peggy.
Yeah.
At a point. Like, he saw her and respected her completely. And I now mean, this guy is just like, well, a woman shouldn't even be here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little... That's the one thing I had... It was a little on the nose at times.
Which, if you ever watched the Peggy Carter show, it was a little on the nose even on the show. Like,
I mean, just, I understand they're trying to paint that...
that's what it was that, like back that, then.
Yeah. But it just felt on the nose the way they did that. I'm like, yes, I know this is what it was like, but man, that was just like, hey, here's the hammer, here's your face. Bam! Here it is.
And it's still... It's still kind of encumbered by the fact that the show is 30 minutes and it's kind of carrying you on the same storyline as the first whole movie.
Yes.
Of First Avenger, which is what, 2 hours maybe?
Almost,
hour
yeah.
50 something.
It, but that's the one, another gripe I had about the show is it, because they're trying to condense the story of the First Avenger into a 30 minute show, it felt weird. The pacing felt weird, but let's talk about that animation, though.
Beautiful.
I mean,
absolutely stunning.
So I saw a couple episodes of Star Wars Resistance, and I was just rolled my eyes because I could not do it. It mm-hmm. was definitely for much younger audience than even Rebels was.
The cell shaded animation, yeah.
That's the same kind of animation that we have in What If, but it's taken to a whole new level.
I think the integration between Star Wars and Disney has created some amazing, amazing leaps in animation for
everyone involved.
For everyone involved, yes, absolutely. And I think, like Clone Wars and Bad Batch animation is so different from the movies, but it still conveys the same feeling, the same tone, the same designs. This is just slightly different enough where you see...
Corey's getting mauled. To death by my vicious pit bull, who's just giving him all the love in the world and gosh. Trying to climb into his lap right now. So
vicious kisses.
Can you,
Aggie, come here.
Personal space.
How about that personal space?
What okay. a fantastic concept. My dog does not know what personal space is.
Not at all.
She's a 70-pound lap dog.
And she's back. It was Agatha all along.
And no, we did not name her off of, based off of that. Hey, stop messing with the mic.
Intrusive.
You're very Agatha. Intrusive. No, we did not name her after Agatha Harkness. It just kind of happened that way.
She just wanted to be our next guest star.
That's okay.
That's Sit. Okay.
Sorry.
Sit. Lay down. Lay down. Yeah. You're such a good guest.
No.
Okay. Anywho.
Anyway. Yes. So, what if Peggy Carter became Captain Carter, which is super cool. I like how the shield, we saw Stark was messing around with different shields in the First Avenger, and which, then Steve was the one who chose the dish.
Yeah, and then in this, Stark's like, here, I got you this, here, take it, and it's already done up like the United Kingdom flag.
Here, quick, clean plot, let's go. Pretty much. I made this for you, let's rock and roll. And then,
I think
we've got Stark actually being able to use the Tesseract and do some research with it creates
Hydra Stomper.
The Hydra Stomper, which is basically like
Iron Man 1
Mark 1, the one he makes in the cave, which I thought was really cool. I like that concept.
Yeah, that was
like
a cool concept.
The scrawny little guy who, whether he has a suit of armor or if he has the super soldier serum, he's the guy that you would want.
Yeah, so they put Steve in the Hydra Stomper. They put scrawny little Steve Rogers in the Hydra Stomper, and it's cool to watch. It really is. There's definitely some things about it that it's. I have to get a. Remember, this is What If. What If? So that's the thing that still throws me off, because it's just What If.
Exactly. But I think it's going to tie in as these alternative universes. So we may potentially see a little live-action scrawny Steve in a Hydra Stomper suit one day, maybe, when we eventually get to Secret Wars or a Contest of Champions where we have different universes being pulled in for battle. We get different champions, and now we have a plethora of them.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where that goes.
My thing is, Steve was only there for the experiment. That's why he got authorized to go into the military and did all of that. So once he's no longer the recipient of the experiment, why are they keeping him around so close in, like, military situations and all that?
For World War II, probably.
Fair enough. Well, we signed you up. We can't kick you out now, so. Here, you stay and be a part of super secret missions that there's really no reason that
this is a little bit of a sidebar, but I have to say this. I fucking hate your shirt, Corey.
Thank you very much. That's why I bought it. In the spirit of a new Captain whatever coming from Marvel, I bought a Captain America shirt, and instead of going for Steve Rogers, classic, I have a couple of those, instead of going for Sam Wilson, who will be my next shirt purchase, I got John Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really infuriating.
John Walker is Captain America, which I take as a testament to the acting.
Oh, yeah, no.
And the writing. I hate the character.
Oh, yeah.
Hate the character so much.
Even though he had that slight redemption at the very end, I still, like, just want... He's just got such a punchable face.
Yes.
Because of his attitude. There were moments, going back to Falcon and Winter Soldier, like, in the very beginning, where you wanted to like him, and then he just does stupid shit.
For the rest of the show, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, your attitude makes it so your face is just super punchable. Nothing against the actor. He did a phenomenal job.
And then by the end, he actually makes the choice where you're like, ah, I'm kind of rooting for this guy, just a little bit. Like, I hate him. I want to sock him in the face. But at the same time, like... He has the potential to do heroic things. His experiences and his perspective point him towards a more aggressive direction.
Yeah.
And some people like that. I knew that this shirt would be a great conversation starter.
I knew you.
It's the way to pick out who watched Falcon and Winter Soldier and who's, like, really keeping an eye on this stuff.
Yes.
Much like how our friendship started from me wearing all the superhero shirts. I know someone who walks in.
I genuinely think it was the Star Destroyers on the register at the store is what was really what did it in. I think I used to make the comments like, oh, nice shirt. Love the Flash or things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I noticed, I'm like, is that a Dreadnought? Was that a Super Star Destroyer on the register?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a Star Destroyer. And if you press this little button, the Tantive IV. Tantive?
I don't remember.
That was a big thing in the fandom for a long time. The ship that Leia enters in at the beginning of A New Hope. There we go. Press the little switch and that pops down. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of...
Yeah, Captain America.
Ships. You know what I find very cool about Star Wars right now? Is how long the Hammerhead Corvette has been in the Republic / Rebels fleet.
Yes.
If you... first time I remember, like, actually, like... registering it was the Knights of the Old Republic video game, which takes place 4,000 years before. So that seeing the Hammerhead Corvette there, that's one of the coolest little through lines through Star Wars, I think, just watching it pop up again. And you even see it again in Rebels. It's one of the ships that Leia brings to Lothal.
And I love that because it's one of those subtle little things that ties... That was something in a game that wasn't canon at the point of making the films, and they were like, hey, let's use this design. So in Rebels, you see how they acquire them. You see that they're basically associated with Leia. And then in the Battle of Scarif, in Rogue One, they're being used, and Leia's there.
Yeah.
She's the one who brought them, introduced them pretty much to us through that show, and then...
Really nice through line.
Call up the Hammerhead Corvettes.
Really nice through line that I like.
They're paying attention.
They
Speaking of a through line... Marvel What If, and I do want to come back, when you mentioned starships, that reminded me that Disney has announced their Star Cruiser, Star
really
Adventure.
Really exorbitant price point, and we'll come back to that.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to make sure we pop that in there real quick. So what if the Hydra Stomper, Red Skull doesn't have the Tesseract from the beginning of the it's the version.
Yeah, in the middle of the film, he gets it stolen with... Because Zoloff was being transported to Berlin and Captain Carter grabs him and he's got the Tesseract and Stark's like, oh, we can power up Brooklyn. I'm going to put this in a suit.
Exactly. So Stark he's able to experiment, whereas Zola and Hydra aren't. So they have nothing to show the Fuhrer. They have nothing to really like get in his graces. So now Red Skull literally tries to open up a portal once he gets the Tesseract.
And pulls a giant sea monster.
What is that, Cthulhu? An actual Hydra? Like, what?
No, it was just, he was calling it the Champion of Hydra, and it was just like a giant squid coming through, devouring everything.
I wonder if that's going to tie into something.
Right?
Possibly. Then they fight it. They fight the giant squid tentacles thing. We don't ever find out what it is. They're just fighting tentacles.
You see
from
a mouth.
A portal.
You see a mouth briefly.
Oh.
You do see a mouth briefly.
Oh, that's very cool. They're fighting the Sarlacc pit. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one that I was like, this is a slight, that was a moment where I'm like, this is a little much.
I expected something a little different. Like, I almost expected them to, like, overwow us and, like, Thanos walks out or something. Or, that would have been extreme.
Or Loki.
Or something along the lines of, like, a Captain America-related villain or something.
Yeah,
instead of just
it was a little tentacles. Off-putting that it was just something that, like, didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I thought,
knowing how good Marvel is at tying things together, I was like, oh, it's going to be Thanos, or it's going to be the Destroyer from Asgard, or something like that.
Or Ronin, or like a bunch of other villains, or something. And then I remember they're trying to keep it a maintained little story.
Yeah.
So.
But going back to the Star Cruiser, or Starship.
Yes.
Galactic Cruiser.
Star Cruiser. I watched a couple of people talk about it, and there's some pretty interesting stuff that they do, but it seems like it's all like an on-the-rails kind of thing. It's, like, scheduled almost entirely your whole trip. And it doesn't look like you have a whole lot of time to just go around and explore. Yeah. It's built in, but they actually have a trip to Galaxy's Edge that's included, and you get Fast Pass or whatever that's called.
So, if you had... It's around $4,800.
So, like, $5,000 for, what is that, two people?
Yeah. A two-guest, two-night stay in a studio still runs you about $4,809. You don't even get to blow up a Death Star. this was really cool. So, I work at a brewery here in the town we live in. And over the week, last weekend, I actually had two guys who developed the control module for Smuggler's Run ride for the Disney parks.
Really?
Yeah, their company developed the control module. They were sitting at my bar, and we were just shooting the shit.
Really?
Oh, it was so cool to listen to them. And they're like, just them talking about how much detail Disney puts into their parks and everything they do is unparalleled. They're both engineers, and they respect that stuff, but they're like, we've never been anywhere. Like, because we got to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff and all that, how much detail goes into what Disney does at their park.
Oh, my God. If only they put that much detail into
Star Wars
their contracts.
Ooh.
Apparently, they don't want to work with Scarlett Johansson again. And I'm like, I don't think she wants to work with you guys again either.
Oh,
with how things are going.
They are shooting themselves in the foot. They really are, because Scarlett Johansson is a big name. And... you don't want to piss someone like that off, especially, like, yeah, it's Disney. They'll always be able to get talent. But at the same time, how are you really going to be able to draw those big name actors into those roles that you want to do?
Yeah. If you have a history of not only not paying them, screwing them over in the back end, and then writing them off, how many people are going to sign up?
It's very interesting. It's very interesting to see since Iger stepped down and Chapek took over. How much more drama is unfolding with Disney and their creatives and stuff like that? Makes me really realize that Chapek only cares about shareholders and the investors and whatnot, which Iger did, but at the same time, he did want the best creative people he could get. And I'm not saying Iger's a saint. He's definitely not. But
he ran a tight ship.
You can tell a big difference already in the way Disney is run. And obviously Iger picked Chapek, and unfortunately, as a fan of all these different, you know, intellectual properties that Disney now owns, I don't like what I'm seeing with Chapek in charge. I mean, the whole Scarlett Johansson thing, they're obviously trying to bump their subscriber numbers. That's what it comes down to.
Did we ever confirm if that was, like, if that comes down to a Chapek decision, or if that's,
I mean,
like,
he's in charge of the company now, so, like...
I mean, he's the one who makes the decision ultimately throughout the pandemic, whether to have released
and
it or not.
And we have to remember, Scarlett Johansson's suit is not with Marvel Studios. It is with Disney.
No, and it shouldn't be with Marvel, because I imagine she's been treated wonderful by them. It's the people just above them on the totem pole.
Because, let's be honest, even though Feige runs the studio, he doesn't make the say as to how that shit gets released.
No.
He doesn't.
I don't even think...
because there was a while through the pandemic, people were talking about how Feige is against his movies going to Disney Plus. Obviously, he got overruled.
Movies are movies.
And if you follow the ladder, it only leads to one place.
Alive.
Just...
No. Ugh. The top chair at Disney.
The mouse himself!
Pluto, go get me my serrated knife.
Oh. I had nothing for that.
Gorsh, Mickey, are you really torturing another celebrity?
Someone's about to get shanked.
Well, this got really dark today.
Real dark, real fast. I think it's because we don't have the tranquil space music in the background.
I know, it just says Return to Kamino.
It says Return to Kamino.
Which I am catching up on the Bad Batch as we speak. I have just finished episode 14. Last time I saw was episode 10. So I watched 11, 12, 13, and 14 in the last 2 days. 11 and 12 with going back to Ryloth and seeing what's happening on Ryloth. Excuse me, frog in my throat. That was cool. That was really cool, especially because it follows the Syndullas. So we got to see young Hera Syndulla.
Chopper. That was really cool.
And I think the best part of that, Corey, was Cham Syndulla, the freedom fighter, trying to accept the peace at first that comes with the Empire. Like, truly trying. But it doesn't work. He sees it doesn't work in the end. It was just like this really cool contained storyline that sets the Bad Batch on the back burner, essentially. They're just kind of side characters in this.
And it's that cool thing that Star Wars has been able to do with the animation, especially with the Bad Batch, is because it turns the Clone Wars arc that we have for Ryloth with Cham Syndulla and the Rebels arc that we have with Cham Syndulla.
Also the Sith Lords arc that we have. Yes. With the book, the novel, the Sith Lord.
Exactly. And it's able to make a full through line, a full story. You can trace the history of Ryloth. There's a canon book that takes place after Return of the Jedi. It
takes place about 7 or 8 years after... Oh, no, never mind.
There's another book, and it takes place after Return of the Jedi, and there's characters and there's things from all of the Ryloth story that play into it. And it's really cool being able to go back and to insert these stories in that tell a full story. We have Cham Syndulla originally fighting for his people. He didn't want to accept the help of the Republic. The Republic actually finally convinced him, hey, we're on your side, dude. And then finally when they turn and they flip into the Empire and all of a sudden you see he's like, nah, I trusted you guys. Okay, this is fine. You guys are... You're pushing your limits a little bit, but it seems easier to live with this than and to then keep
Hera,
fighting.
And then Hera gets arrested for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, essentially.
Which is his brother or cousin, Gobi?
Gobi. They call him Uncle Gobi, but I don't think it's confirmed that
Uncle Gobi. Yeah, he's the one who's, like, going off and, like, trying to get weapons and
stuff.
Gets
him from the Bad Batch and Sid.
Because he's like...
That's how that connects.
He's like, the Empire is not good. We don't need them here. And... In that episode, I also really liked Crosshair. We're getting more of the story through where... Or is that the next episode?
I don't remember.
Sorry, it's been a minute since I've seen the ones that you're catching up on. Sorry. Go on.
No, but
Crosshair, it's just cool seeing...
But just watching Cham Syndulla, I'll be like, okay, the Empire, yeah, okay. I can get on board with this. I can't do this. Okay, screw these guys. I'm done with this shit. And watch him be the freedom fighter that canon has already painted him to be. I honestly thought Hera's mom was going to die.
Seriously.
I really did. I thought that's where that was going. Because she's gone by the time Rebels comes around.
She is. And you know that that's like a big thing for Hera and why she's like, she goes off and she explores because there's really nothing there. Her father has turned to...
He turns into
the freedom fighter that he does, and he's underground and just fighting constantly. And Hera's able to see the big picture of, you're not going to win the war here on this one planet. It has to be on a bigger scale than that.
Yeah. Man, Corey and I talked about this off air, and I really, really hope that we do get to see live action Hera and Jason Solo, Jason
Syndulla.
Syndulla, thank you. Good God.
You're welcome.
It should be Jason Jar. It's Jar. God, no, that doesn't work either. Tried to even say that.
Jason Jarrus?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
They weren't married.
Do you even
what
get
if it's
married?
Not actually Kanan's? They yeah, never do anything.
That we see.
When it's they have time.
It's a kid's show.
I know. Obviously, we're not going to see it in the Rebels. Tune in on Toon Disney XD. That's what the XD stands for.
Extra dick. What?
Whoosh. Here comes the mouse to cancel us. We're not even paid by Disney. That doesn't make sense. No. But, no, I would totally love to see. Vanessa Marshall has been doing voices in Star Wars for a long time. She was the voice of Jan Ors in the Jedi Knight games. She's been Hera for a long time. She's been random other voices in games and cartoons.
Put that woman in some makeup and make her a Twi'lek live action. Let's do it, because we talked about this. Yeah, they gave Ahsoka a different voice actor in Rebels and everything.
Kind of had to.
And I understand why they did what they did there. But just give us that one little thing. Put her in live action. She's voiced the character. She knows the character. Like, that was the thing with Rosario. She knew the understood the mannerism. So, like, even though she wasn't Ashley Eckstein or Eckstein, what's her one of those?
Eckstein, I believe.
Eckstein. She learned and understood Ahsoka's mannerisms. I mean, the Rebels Ahsoka that we see is a... Everything she does is very much what Rosario does.
And if we can get Katie Sackhoff as Bo-Katan in both the animation and in the live action, Vanessa Marshall could 100% put on the costume and show up in, it doesn't even matter, Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, if that's still
happening. That's not happening.
That officially got canceled.
That was going to be around Cara Dune.
Yeah. Well, she could show up in a whole bunch. I mean, she was in Squadrons, the new video game that's canon.
Yeah.
She's a big part of that. Not a huge part, but she's in. They're pushing her as a character to be in stuff. She's been in the Lego Freemaker adventures.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to, I think that would be the best thing they could do for that character. Will I understand if they don't do that? Sure, absolutely. I'm not going to gripe one way or the other on that, because... But I want to see a live-action Hera.
We'd have Jason Syndulla as another Force-sensitive character, possibly. You assume that it's going to be passed down, but it could possibly not.
It could possibly not, but wouldn't it be cool to see...
They're setting up the future generations of Star Wars right now. Yeah, we've got Ezra. We've got Omega.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. And I understand Rey was, you know, the heroine of the sequel trilogy. I understand that. But that doesn't mean she has to be the Jedi.
She could be a Grandmaster. She could be an instructor. They could run into each other. It's a huge galaxy, despite how some entries in the stories may make it seem a lot smaller.
Hondo Onaka finding Ezra.
Do you think we'll see, now that we know that there's a Bad Batch Season 2, do you think Hondo shows up?
He better. He is one of my favorite characters introduced.
Can you imagine the batch that we have now, depending on who survives? We have one episode left as of recording this. I don't know who's going to die. I kind of want to take your opinion on that later. But Hondo interacting with any of them. Because Omega already likes Sid, and Sid's kind of like... As much as she's underground. Yeah.
She's the knockoff Hondo.
Like, nicer, a little bit more...
Motherly.
Yes, exactly. Hondo's kind of like that goofy uncle that you really don't want to leave the kids with, but when you do, they always end up in some awful situation. But they love it.
They have the best time.
Hondo Onaka is Uncle Buck, canon.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Uncle Buck?
Yes, I've seen it a couple times, but I haven't seen it in years. But yes, he is Uncle Buck. Oh my God.
I love that. Oh, you shouldn't have left them with me, but since you did, we had fun.
You told me your name was Jabba!
Hondo, and that, again, would be a perfect Clone Wars, carry on the story through Bad Batch, because you know they show up again in Rebels.
Well, that's the other thing, is when we meet Hondo in Clone Wars, he's leading a massive pirate gang, and then when we see him in Rebels, he's solo, basically, always looking for more crew.
And we still have to explore Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn,
and well, we know we have Maul out there, but
we saw the Pikes.
Why am I forgetting his name? Paul Bettany's character from Solo.
Oh,
Dryden Voss. We've got characters like that that can easily interact with this group of the Bad Batch as of right now are mercenaries.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff that can be done moving forward with that. And we have canon characters out there that can, may not be Jedi in a sense, but you have Cal Kestis roaming the galaxy.
We need to know what happens to him at some point or another.
Jedi Fallen Order 2, we'll get more. And honestly, here's something I hope happens.
Oh, two-player.
Yeah, two-player? No. If you watch it, Cal is very much unrefined, even at the end of that game with his Force abilities. Very much just his training's incomplete and all that stuff. And Sierra has reestablished her connection with the Force. I want Jedi Fallen Order 2 to be about him taking his abilities to the next level.
I always forget that Seer is still alive at the end of that game and able to train.
And he also has Marin with him, who's a Night Sister. Which, and that puts a different perspective of the Force.
That's very true. We could have her teaching him a little bit about, like, Night Sister
she could
magic,
even be, or
and
she could be
him
even
teaching
be,
her about the Force at the same time.
And, like, she could become a pseudo Jedi in a way,
a Force wielding Night Sister.
Well, I mean, that's what they
I
are.
Mean, it's Asajj, basically. But like a Jedi Knight Sister?
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
A Jedi Knight Sister?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be pretty cool.
But I really want it to be, yes, you are a Jedi Knight, but, like, hear me out. I'm so into, like, that whole lightsaber combat with, like, the different forms and stuff, like lightsaber forms and whatnot. He has to, Sierra's genuinely training him in, like, the various lightsaber forms, and he's becoming a master of that, finding different secrets of the Force and stuff along the way. All while Vader knows he exists, so Vader has to hunt him down.
Vader, at this point in the canon that we're talking about, he's got a couple of Jedi that he knows about that are on the loose.
Oh, yeah.
That he's trying to hunt down. So and maybe Jedi Fallen Order 2, we get a mission as the, you know, like the ultimate fallen Jedi of the Order, a Vader mission? How cool would that be? Hunting down.
So
a Jedi.
I just played Force Unleashed. I'm in the middle of another playthrough of Force Unleashed. I'm on Raxus Prime when it's Imperial controlled. It's about to pull down the Star Destroyer.
Fun.
That opening scene when you're Vader and you're just decimating the Wookiees.
Oh, on Kashyyyk. Oh yeah. Throwing them every which way.
Like, and his
feel
just
bad for him,
and almost. His basic Force push is just light years ahead of Starkiller's.
A cannonball.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I'm replaying it. And as much as I had nostalgia about that game, Fallen Order destroys that game. Mechanics wise,
100%. I like
absolutely.
The combo button mashing.
I don't
of the
like
Force Unleashed,
I don't
but
like button mashing. That's what it comes down
controlled
to.
Controlled in Fallen Order, you have to actually be tactical and time your stuff.
You have to time your deflections to actually deflect it back versus just deflecting it off into space. That was so cool,
and it's so satisfying. And they can add just things to mix it up a little bit. One of my least favorite things in that game was some of the moves. You do it enough, and it just gets repetitive.
Which one?
Fallen Order, actually.
Fair. And Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed, yes. The second one especially got really repetitive real quick.
That game is atrocious. It is.
It looks good. It looks great.
It's a disgrace, though, to the first one. Let's be honest.
Because they had two different endings for the first
one.
So I wanted to follow the dark side ending in a second Force Unleashed. But instead, they just kept that as DLC. But
well, of course they did.
That's a moot point. They're not touching those games anytime soon.
No. One thing I dislike about games like that is it's like, oh, you gotta find the holocrons. Oh, you gotta find the lightsaber parts. Oh, you gotta find this. It's like, oh, for the love of Pete, I have to be a completionist for this nonsense.
You have to explore every single crevice, destroy every single item on the map, because you never know what it could be hiding.
Now, don't get me wrong. In Fallen Order, I did find every single chest. I did do a playthrough of finding every single chest. That being said, it still sucks.
Did you have fun, though, doing it?
No, because my happy ass is literally going online, because I'm not sitting there. Like, there was one in the temple on, what the hell is the first planet we go to?
Pagano.
No. Second planet we go to.
The one that shows up in Fallen Order?
Yes.
Baraka. Baccara? Baraka.
The one with the giant storm?
Obama. Blanche.
The Zepho homeworld.
Oh, the home of the Zepho would be Zepho.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I played that game because the map system and traversal is frustrating as all get out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll take what you think is a shortcut and you end up deeper in the map and you can't get back the way that you came. Frustrating. Extremely. I hope the second one, Zepho, there's more options. Zepho,
that was what it was.
Actually.
But there's one chest over. You have to like grab the vines and swing across the chasm. No, you gotta like turn your entire body and swing into like unknown regions to find a chest. I'm like, I was online looking for these things because I'm like, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, I'm not the kind of guy that's gonna sit there and just putz around and like find them because I get frustrated. My ADHD kicks in so badly, and I'm like, why am I doing this? I just want a cooler lightsaber. But I could still play the game. No.
Ugh. Yeah. I feel that. Especially because in that game, a lot of the stuff that you find is cosmetic for sure, which is great. But, like,
I didn't.
BD1 skins, like, he's so small you don't even notice unless it's, like, the three super bright ones.
Hey, don't you talk shit about my favorite droid.
I like BD1. Favorite droid?
He's up there.
He's pretty cool.
He's top three. He's
I would take
three.
A BD-1.
I'm R2 Chopper BD-1. That's me.
For me, it would be between BD-1 and I can't remember what Iden Versio's droid in Battlefront was. The little floating
K2
guy.
K2-S2, there was that, too.
He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Little zap droid. But they do that in the games, it seems. You have your own personal little droid that's
like
your interface.
And I liked that. That was cool. You don't just have R2 running around, because I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to roam around with an astromech.
What? A snow planet roaming around with R2? That would be a nightmare. You have to shovel him a path anywhere that he goes.
I mean, he could use his jetpack, but then he's just creating ice underneath everything, and it's just...
Or if it's sequel R2, he doesn't even have a jetpack.
That's true.
I feel like they've answered that somewhere in the Legends, but I don't know if we have a canon answer as to why R2 doesn't have rockets anymore.
Oh, one of the other things that and again, TikTok has showed me, it's like so many of the parallels that happen in that they put in the Clone Wars and the Rebels and all that stuff from the actual movies. Like, on the Zygerian homeworld, Anakin's plan to escape involved R2 launching the lightsaber just like it does in Return of the Jedi to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just little things like that. I just love that.
I love them. Those are like...
Dave Filoni at his
exactly.
best.
Exactly. Those
Dave
are the Filoni reasons that I
love knowing his people. Filoni. Knowing his fans.
Visual parallels. It's someone who has watched the movies with enough time and love to have an image in their head and go, we're making more Star Wars. George would want some kind of poetry. So we're just going to make like
Feige does the same
bit.
Thing with the comics and the movies over at in the MCU. Like, if there's little breadcrumbs.
I think of the scene in Civil War where you have Cap and Iron Man.
Yeah.
And they're pushing against. One's got the repulsor blast. One's got the shield. That's like the famous cover of the Civil War comic. And they recreate it. They pay homage. To the stuff.
Homage.
Have you ever seen... Oh, gosh. I think it's just Cop Out.
No.
Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
No, I've not.
And Sean William Scott. Not bad. That's actually a Kevin Smith movie. A lot of people don't know that. It's pretty funny. They talk about that. I'm paying homage. It's an homage. Homage. I say homage. Yes, it's them paying attention to the stuff that's come before and putting it into the stuff that's happening now.
Well, and that's the thing, is some people I talk to are like, somebody told me they didn't like The Mandalorian, and I'm like, what in the God's green earth is your problem, good sir?
Are they blind and deaf?
Too much fan service.
I can understand people being upset about fan service. I really can. But I'm a fan, and I like being serviced. Give me what I want. Why are people upset about getting
catering to the old fans while still getting new ones? Right. Why? What are you doing?
Right.
Why are you complaining to this about this to me? Because I don't like you now. That's what that means. You may be a fan, and I respect all fans, but I don't like you now because you said that. That's where I go. I am that person. Like, I have liked this since I was a small child. You're just getting into this and you think there's too much fan service? How about you stuff it?
Right? Like, it's either too different, like, way too different, and it feels like you're not even listening to the fans. Or you have the exact opposite reaction, and people are like, it's too fan service-y. Why would Luke be there? Like, there's a Force-sensitive character that's in the hands of the Empire. And he's trying to rebuild the Jedi Order and find Force-sensitive people. It makes sense story-wise that he would be there.
Also, by the way, I really want it to be that Ben Solo's class of Jedi that Luke was training is not his first class. I want
Ben Solo. I think that would be cool because then you would have at least one or two potential Jedi characters that have been trained by Luke to show, hey, he wasn't a complete fuck-up.
Yeah. And that's... Again, that's what it comes back to with my sequel trilogy, is painting Luke as a complete fuck-up is just... Ugh. Anywho, moving on from that subject, I need more. I need more. I need Luke's successes and failures along the way.
Exactly. And I feel like Luke was a thing that, for the first two films in the sequel trilogy, was very untouched. They intentionally left... Like, nothing involved Luke. That wasn't original trilogy.
In the first two? You mean in the first one?
The first two. They go into Luke a little bit, but, like, the books and the comics and stuff, they couldn't touch old Luke Skywalker. Between, like, just after Return of the Jedi and the beginning of Force Awakens, we didn't know anything about him. There was a book about the legends of Luke Skywalker, and it's literally about, like, tall tales. There needs to be like more. An actual explanation of what happened. I think
that's what's happening. That's also what's happening with the Filoni verse, as they're referring to it, like the Filoni projects. Luke is this enamored figure, and they're trying, and he's polarizing when the sequel trilogy comes out. Very polarizing. And they're trying to give us Luke's story without it being Luke's story. Does that make sense?
Exactly, because they had said already, it's the end of the Skywalker saga. Now, that doesn't mean that the Skywalkers can't still show up in all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But they're not going to put the focus on him. They're going to make sure to only use him when the story makes it work. And that's going to help flesh him out.
Even if he shows up for only a few minutes of screen time throughout the TV shows, just to, like, come in, save the day, or come in and give his Jedi wisdom just briefly, and then he's gone.
Nah, I want a Luke Skywalker show.
So do I.
Give me a whole Luke Skywalker show. That'd be cool. How cool would that be?
Yeah, it would be great. They won't do it.
It's like how it's the Kenobi show, but Vader's still going to be in it. We're still going to have Hayden Christensen.
Which I'm excited for. And I'm excited for it that George is not directing it. As much as I love George Lucas, I want to see Hayden Christensen playing Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker in flashbacks with a great director.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's what I want. I think he's also had over 15 years to grow from the role and understand how to play it better and how George probably screwed him in playing that role.
Plus, Deborah Chow is the director of the whole Obi-Wan series.
Yeah.
Just the two episodes of Mandalorian Season 1 she did, I think Episode 3 and Episode 6, some of my favorite episodes. The one on the prison ship?
Yeah.
Loved it.
Very good.
The one where he rescues Grogu? Loved it.
Yeah, she did great.
So, I have this weird feeling of trust in Star Wars right now, and at the same time, I have this other weird feeling of, like, I'm skeptical of Star Wars at this moment. And I don't know how to balance the two, because I want to walk in with expectations so low that I can only be surprised and blown away.
Also, another thing that Star Wars...
But I'm gonna be excited about.
That I want to talk about that Star Wars does is they make sure, no matter if it's Legends or canon, that Kashyyyk gets absolutely fucked.
No matter what, yeah. That planet is screwed.
Yeah,
Wookiees pissed someone off a long time ago.
I mean, hell, even in going back to... They're enslaved in both Force Unleashed and Fallen Order.
Both games, which take place roughly in the same time period, the Empire was not kind to Kashyyyk at all, ever, in any version of the story.
It doesn't matter. And even going back to the Knights of the Republic video games, it's not the Sith that are screwing over the Kashyyyk, but it's a corporation enslaving the goddamn Wookiees again.
They've got trees that are amazing for fires and industry. They've got giant slaves who can take wicked loads of like labor and stuff. Why wouldn't you want the Wookiees as a workforce? If you could enslave them and you know, hold power over them, build our starships.
Yeah.
What was the last episode of Bad?
It's the one where they go rescue Gregor. Yes. That's the one that I just watched, episode 14.
The music in that episode was very original trilogy.
I wasn't paying attention to the music.
Really?
I was too busy watching.
Oh, the score. The score definitely added, like, a level of, like, immersion for me. And the fact that clone commandos are officially the ones who train the stormtroopers.
Yep, I like that.
Or not stormtroopers, TK troopers. Which I like. That now gives like a Stormtrooper Phase 1 and Stormtrooper Phase 2 kind of armor.
Yeah, exactly.
Armor set.
They I love how they even mentioned they changed their armor.
And a lot of like Echo, when he's trying to like scomp in and try and check all the stuff, he's like, this stuff is so new to me. And Tech, he tries to punch in the code.
And Gregor's like, clone codes don't work here, buddy.
Yeah, they're literally obsolete at this point. They're relics of a bygone era.
Which, that's what I like, is it's not telling us how much time has passed, but it's showing us that a lot of time is passing.
Oh, sorry. You're caught up now. We can talk about Captain Hauser.
I've not...
From the Hera episodes?
Captain Hauser, yes.
Captain Hauser. His chip apparently just didn't go off. He's able to resist it because it's not a Jedi. He's maintained his personality. Because Hera's breaking all the rules and stuff, and Hauser's like, listen, the Empire would want me to punish you guys, but I'm going to be chill with you because I like
her.
You.
I'm going to make sure she's okay.
And no other clones except for like Hunter has really had that.
And then in that last scene there where he goes out the door and he's like, this is not what we signed up to do.
And Regs drop their armor and drop their guns and stuff. And
again, showing time is passing too, because... That happens, then there's that filler episode with Sid and all that that I decided to walk
it's
around.
Cute. That's a Bad Batch season 2 episode right there. That's the link right there.
Yeah, but I'm just like, meh.
Mayfeld episode.
Yeah, I just kind of walked away and just started puttering around my house during that episode.
Can't blame you.
But
yes, Hauser and the clones.
I mean, overall, I don't think it's as good as season 7 of Clone Wars. I will say that, but that's not to say it's not good. It's really good. It's just season 7 wrapping up the Clone Wars storyline was top tier. Just top tier.
And they got to do that with characters that we were really attached to. By the time you get to that, Maul, Ahsoka, and Rex, we're seeing it through their eyes, and it's... Like, heartbreaking, even for Maul. Like, dude, this guy is an a-hole, and I'm like, I hope he makes it out okay, even though I know he makes it out.
I genuinely love Darth Maul. I was not a huge fan at first because, oh, he got sliced in half, he's not that cool, like, he's lame. Obi-Wan fucked him up, he's dead, it's fine. And then they bring him back, and I'm like, this is dope. Like, what they did with that character is just amazing.
Villains are some of the best parts of storytelling because they can be flawed, and they don't get to fix those flaws a lot of the time.
One of the thing I like that the canon has done is they've painted the Emperor with such mystery. Like he puts on the pretty Sheev Palpatine face when he's addressing the people, but no one knows him. no one besides Vader and his royal elite guards know him.
And even then, Vader didn't know he had a secret planet until after Empire Strikes Back. Like,
oh, why are you gonna bring that up?
Well, I'm just saying. And Thrawn, he has like these secret meetings with tacticians and important people underneath his temple, and he is very, very secretive, very hidden, very. I ain't gonna tell you what I'm doing because I'm Darth Palpatine.
No one knows, and I love that. I do love that. The Emperor is a mystery. I love that Palpatine is a mystery.
Darth Sidious, more like Darth Mysterious.
Look at you with your yellow eyes. You're so cute. Oh, you're so wrinkly. Has someone been meditating on the dark side again?
Sheev literally looks like a hairless cat. Once he gets melted and all candlestick-like, he looks like a hairless cat. Or a pug.
Doth. No, Sharpay.
Pug.
Doth Sharpay.
Darth Sharpay. That just makes me think of High School Musical. Like Ashley Tisdale in all black with a red lightsaber.
Shit, that's
bop to the top of the dark side.
Bop, 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 bop to the dark side.
Dance with me.
You know which dog I'm talking about. The wrinkly fucking dogs.
Oh, gosh.
That's Sheev Palpatine. Gosh.
You know what that reminds me of? Manscaped.com. Make sure to visit. I still want to get sponsored by them so bad.
Corey wants. We had somebody reach out to us on Instagram that was like a knockoff Manscaped
company. Oh yeah, what was it?
They reached out like they reached out like twice, and I just kept ignoring it because I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why would I do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even want to say their name because then we're actually advertising for them.
Yeah, exactly.
The only company that I trust around there.
The photo they sent us about the company had a shaver and tennis balls in it.
Manscaped.com. Yeah.
What?
Shave your tennis balls, you dusty old fart. Sorry, I watched Talladega Nights recently.
Like I said, I watched George of the Jungle recently, and I am not upset.
That's a good
movie. Before you came over, Ari and I were watching Major Pain.
That's a good one. Oh my god. Was it The Little Engine That Could?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a classic. That's not on Disney Plus. That's on Netflix,
it's
right?
It's Netflix right now, and it's in the top 10. I didn't think that movie would be in the top 10 with how, like, ridiculous it is.
Really? Really? Cool. Free Guy comes out this week. By the time this airs, some people will have seen it. What's next? The next What If episode is, I believe, T'Challa as
like a playboy?
As Star-Lord.
As Star-Lord?
As Star-Lord. He gets picked up by the Guardians of the Galaxy instead of Peter Quill.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm excited for that one for several reasons. One, I'm pretty sure it's Chadwick Boseman's, like, last outing as Black Panther.
They actually got him to voice it?
I think the main characters of each one, they ended up getting the real voices.
And that would definitely be Chadwick's last outing as anything. I don't know if that's true, but let's find out.
Rumor has it. In the words of Adele.
Ooh, rumor has it.
Ha! You picked up on that one immediately.
This is what Corey and I do. We just sit here and throw bad puns at each other.
Random references and puns and have fun doing it.
It's all a podcast really is.
Whilst also wearing a John Walker Captain America shirt.
Hey, my vintage Star Wars shirt that I have that I didn't wear today, the one you saw.
I like that one. That one's good. That's like all around graphic.
It's loud, though.
Yeah.
It's really loud.
You know, literally wear your heart on your sleeve, and you will always find someone to have a conversation about it with, you know?
And I think on that inspirational quote, we might have to end it this week, because I don't think we're going to get better than that.
No, I think that was good. Words of wisdom.
Words of
wisdom. Wear your heart on your sleeve, or your t-shirt, or a hat, or whatever garment you like. And you'll find other people who like the same thing. And maybe, who knows, you'll start a podcast and,
I was wearing my, before we go, we went up in Burlington last week, Ari and I, and we were sitting on Church Street having lunch, and there was a dude at the table next to us, and he just looks over, sees my shirt, and it's like your shirt. And it's my unfortunate Last Jedi shirt, because and I just look over, and I'm like, thanks, man. And I look over, and he's just, his whole left arm, his sleeve is just Star Wars.
Yes! I love feelings
it even
like
has
that.
He, on the back side of his arm he had Han Solo and Leia, and the quote was "I love you and I know," silhouetted on his arm.
I went to go get a sandwich at the Harmonyville store the other day.
Yeah.
And they have a guy who works there. Totally calling him out right now. I started talking about Harry Potter with somebody, and he overheard, and he's just like, "Hey," and he pulls up his sleeve and he has the dark mark on his arm. And then I look and he's wearing an X-Men, like classic X-Men logo t-shirt, and then like the Batman and Robin symbol, hat, like the old, it's their silhouette, but it's Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you. We are now friends because I can tell what you like and I like the same things.
Well, that's
Let's
the thing
go.
Is I have half of my sleeve done, as most people who see me can tell. The other half I'm devoting, like the first half was all stuff that meant a lot to me. So I'm finishing the top half off with some MCU stuff. Like I want to do my tattoo artist. He had this pre-done one for a while. It's gone now, but him and I've talked about it, and it was just the Iron Man helmet. With surrounded by roses.
Ooh.
And since Tony Stark is dead, him and I have now talked about him redoing that with a shattered iron, like a cracked and shattered Iron Man helmet.
The one from Homecoming without the skull in it,
yeah.
And everything, but
yeah.
Or not
and,
Homecoming.
And instead, he had roses around it, but instead of that, there'd be a tesseract right below it. Like, I mean, an arc reactor right below it. And I'm also going to do Eye of Agamotto on one of my, on this one blank spot from the lower part of my sleeve. Other side is, I'm not sure if I'm going to do a dark side sleeve to match this tattoo and all that stuff, or an Avatar Fire Nation sleeve.
Ooh, that's hard to choose. That's really hard to choose between.
Yeah.
I have zero tattoos, and I have contemplated doing, like, one whole arm light side, one whole arm right. I know.
My forearm has about $1,500 worth of work on it.
Good Lord. I don't think I've ever had $1,500 at the same time.
It's not all at the same time. But
no, I believe that. That you get one little piece
and that's,
done.
But
and
that's
then,
including
and
I, the tip. I tip generously. I tip very generously. I roll
as
in.
As one should. I mean,
roll
you're
in and you're going to charge me with the hourly work for the work you're doing, and I'm going to drop $200 on you if you're fucking or sitting there working on me for 3 hours.
Like,
I
don't know
if
you noticed.
I'm one of those guys that 4 hours is my limit.
That's on you for life. So, like, if someone does a good job, I want to make sure that they're aware and that they're, like, compensated for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
So, all right, we talked tattoos this week. That's weird.
Tattoos. Hey, maybe I'll get one. Hey, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to download the episodes. Hit us up on Instagram. If you have any questions you want answered while we podcast, I mean, I think we should do like a Q&A someday once we have, you know, some
more
like a good solid collection of questions.
I have to talk with Nicole about getting the logo done. She sent us the one, and then she said she had others and never sent us those. So I wanted to see. Hopefully we'll have a new logo here soon.
That'd be nice. Then maybe we can get some shirts and business cards. Oh, how fun would that be?
How fun.
Well, yes. So stay hydrated, everybody.
It's
so
hot.
It's so hot out. Make sure to stay hydrated. Stay inside. Stay in the AC. Love your pets. Love your family. Love your friends.
And
thanks for
fuck John
in.
Walker.